Rave Radio. Good morning, Joel Rollins here for Rave Radio on the day before the launch of Infocom 2015. And with me is Tom Stimson, consultant and past president of the association. Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Joel. I'm very excited.
One of the things that's excited me and one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you this morning was the increasing presence of the live events industry here at Infocom. What do we got going?
Well, I'm not the authority on all of this, but I know there's quite a few things going on. What I'm very excited about is we have a live events lounge on the floor. It's booth number 6551. It's huge. We've got plenty of places to sit down and visit, and it's around the exhibitors that are focused on us. So I think that's going to be a great place to come hang out. That's where I'm going to have most of my meetings. Education, probably struggles a little bit finding rental staging education still, but there are some good classes, and I've got a roundtable for business owners going on Wednesday afternoon. And I think having just run through the exhibit floor, in the past hour, I'm liking the exhibitors I'm seeing. I'm seeing there's a very good representation of products and companies focused at the live events world. The hall is starting to get a very distinctive live events end.
Good. Yeah. I mean, you're one of the few people I know who keep tabs and actual statistics on the rental market and how it's. How are we doing this year?
This year is very, very good. Last year was great. This year is going very well. The fascinating metric for me, having been forecasting for years, is I'm seeing pipelines, and we're forecasting out into Q1 of next year. I haven't forecasted that far ahead since the turn of the century. So that's pretty remarkable. Now, the question is, a quarter from now, will we have moved another quarter into 2016? And that remains to be seen. But to be, sure, able to say that we're going to be strong through the end of the year is great. Manufacturers should be very happy because that all translates into product orders.
What's driving the live events market this year? I mean, what are the trends?
The technology trends, I don't spend as much time in technology as I used to. The conversations I'm having are more of things. I had a conversation with a client yesterday about, buying another, 40 Mac Auras. Sure, good. You got a client, you've sold, 50% of your ROI in the next 12 months, by all means. Do it. Media servers are a big conversation. A lot of people are realizing that they need to be in media servers.
Sure.
And video wall control, not necessarily the video walls themselves. Because you need to be an expert. If you're going to do video wall control, whatever it is, whether it's LED or seamless displays or any kind of array, you need to be an expert at the control.
Right.
So the media servers and the control go hand in hand. You can get the displays anywhere.
Right.
So
absolutely.
You can be display agnostic at that point.
So you think third-party control of video walls, LED walls, is becoming a more important market? I mean, when they first come out, they're usually you buy the wall and the controller from the same company.
Right. So now the controls that you want live outside of the hardware that you're controlling.
Right.
Very much so. Matter of fact, I was just down at the Lightware booth and high-resolution Systems has a new product that allows the user to control what's on a command and control display instead of the integrator having to program presets and you get to pick a preset. So now the user can do it from an iPad.
Right.
And that's because they're not the control, they're not the the content management provider.
So we're seeing secondary control for
secondary
walls.
Control.
Wow. Okay.
Okay.
All right, somebody with your level of experience at live events, what are you looking for at the show? What do you think you'll see, or what have you been waiting to see?
Joel, it's been so long since I've been a technology guy. I'm not out looking at specific products, and like you, I don't have nearly the time to walk the floor that other people do, and I'll hear what was at the show after the show is over. But I think what people are coming to see is, again, it's going to be the media servers. I'm seeing a surge in projection right now. And even in the small companies, the demand is in the 20K and above. Nobody's looking for a 14K projector right now.
Right.
You know, they want the 6 to 12, they want that solution, and they want 20 and above.
Right.
14K projectors are really easy to come by in the rental market.
Right.
So,
right. A lot like you, I think you get to a point where you tend to stand back and take a look at the big picture as opposed to individual technology. Mm-hmm. I have a bunch of my technicians coming down. Every one of them has
exactly. The
manufacturer booths they especially want to get to and all that. But I have a tendency to stand back and look at, you know, what the overall picture of the market is. And to me, this year, it's looking healthy.
It is. It's very healthy. It's the healthiest we've seen it in years.
Now, one of the things I know you do a lot of work with your clients on is, you know, maintaining profitability and expanding profitability and efficiency in the live events market. What are you cautioning people about this year?
Fix their sales models.
Right.
And as you know, we have very few people who actually are professional salespeople in our industry.
Yes.
We have a lot of guys who can take an order.
Right.
With the best of them.
Right.
But we don't understand business development. We don't understand branding. We don't understand to have an image conversation about your company. All we do is talk about products.
Right. Right.
And that's a non-starter.
Right.
So if you're rallying your sales team to go out and grab market share and you're sending them out to talk about products and services, you've already lost.
Right.
And that's what I'm worried. That's what I'm concerned
about.
Is that
because we tend to come from a technology background that we rely on it?
Yeah.
I mean, because I know that you know, speaking personally as a salesperson, when I sell, it's not very long from talking about my company before I begin talking about the products we represent.
Right.
Am I making a mistake?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there are a certain clientele that want to hear that,
right.
And the discussion about products and services delivers some credibility, you know,
sure.
as part of the framing conversation. But everybody has the same products and services.
Right.
Everybody's using the same words. And what we really need to be doing now, because there is so much competition, it's very hard to differentiate, as we've all found out. Anybody can be an AV rental and staging company.
Sure.
I mean, the barriers to entry are very, very low.
Right.
So
Buy some stuff. And there's all too many people willing to finance that for you.
Or just tell people you bought some stuff because you don't actually have to own it.
Right.
But you have to understand what you're delivering. What's the outcome for the customer? And the outcome isn't a great show.
Right.
Nobody buys a great show. There's something else they're buying, and our job is to figure out what it is and talk about that.
You've been doing this about as long as I have in terms of, you know, being in the market.
I've always looked up to you throughout my career.
And looking at, well, thank you. I think that was a mistake. But looking at the model, is the model of the live events company changing?
Yes. And I can say both the built environment on the install side as well as the whole dealer concept is changing. I've, matter of fact, in my sessions tomorrow, I'm going to start out talking about the death of the AV rental dealer and the AV sales dealer.
And the death?
Death.
Okay.
I mean, it's an old model. And
right.
There's too many companies whose business model is built around rental. So my free advice is that if you still think of yourself as a rental company, that's a problem.
Right.
You're not a rental company. If you are, then you probably have the wrong business model.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, one of my biggest clients is the world's largest equipment rental company,
mm-hmm.
and they'll rent anything,
mm-hmm.
right? And they're looking at AV rental companies, and they identify the market. I mean, and they're a multi-billion-dollar corporation with 4,000 offices.
Mm-hmm.
They identify the market as anything that people want temporarily. They want to own and rent. And they're the world's largest buyer of both Caterpillar and Komatsu
right.
construction equipment. But they are right now looking worldwide at a couple of rental companies that also rent AV equipment. And looking at that, and especially things like large projectors, they're looking at some of the mid-level, mm-hmm. what we would call cross-rental companies, mm-hmm. right? Because they don't want to be in services. They
right.
want to rent lots and lots of hardware. And their pricing model is nowhere near what ours is. Mm-hmm. And yet they're an extremely profitable corporation. Mm-hmm. Is emphasizing equipment something that we're not going to be able to do anymore?
This is a harsh statement, but that's who I am. If you think that you're making money from equipment, you don't know how to do math.
Okay.
That's the message. That's not where, if you're in the live events, if you're doing what I call integrated rentals.
Right.
Okay. And you think your profit is coming from the equipment, then you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
That's not where it comes from. Your profit's coming from the outcome. Equipment's just a tool, and it's a very low margin tool.
Are we, one of the other things that I get, you and I have talked about this privately a couple of times, the idea that we have the impression somehow that we're an entirely different kind of business than anybody else is, and therefore those formulas don't work. Is it true?
Part of what makes me successful as a consultant, as a business consultant in the AV industry, is that I will have a conversation with you, and when you say that your business is unique, I will nod with you and throw AV words back at you. Once you hire me, I will tell you that you are not unique. You are no different than a karate studio or a gas station.
Okay.
It's the same thing. The fact that we think we're unique is why we make mistakes that keep us from growing. It's why we're still stuck thinking like rental companies when we've become outcome-based service companies. You know, we all have on our website, we're solutions providers.
Right.
We'll sell like one.
Bingo. I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah.
And not to attempt to get some of your stock in trade free, mm-hmm. but what is it that what's our biggest mistake in profitability?
In the rental world, the biggest mistake is not understanding the burden and how to calculate the burden of equipment on a job cost basis.
Right.
We tend to think that equipment is free, and it's not.
Yeah.
So there's depreciation. Okay, yeah, we get that, but that's a balance sheet thing. We try to evaluate job costs the same way we look at a P&L. There's an economic job cost that goes with equipment that we're grossly underestimating.
So when I cost a job and I use the depreciation factor on the equipment as the equipment cost, I'm making a mistake.
Yes, because that's not nearly enough. If you're gonna charge the job for the equipment, and that's the terminology I use, the job needs to rent the equipment from the rental company, which is a balance sheet.
Ah, okay.
Okay.
I'm following you.
Okay, it's not free because it's on the shelf.
Right.
Oh, we can give that away. It's on the shelf. Oh, he's not working today. We can put him on the show. This is all wrong.
I'll tell you right now, my technicians have the attitude that if something is 4 years and 1 month old, it's already been paid for and therefore bears no cost.
Right. And that's the problem. And that's the rental mentality, that it's not being used, therefore it's free. Therefore it's a value add, which ingratiates me with the customer.
Sure.
But that's not the way the math works. So the job has to rent the gear from the balance sheet. And the value of that is the replacement cost, which is the wholesale market.
Some of the rental companies that I respect the most, I mean, and we know a lot of the same people, have used you in consulting to help improve their companies. Where do you start with a new company?
The conversation you start with is goals. What is it, that the owners or shareholders or the executive team, what is it they're really trying to accomplish? But we'll come back to the goals conversation later because it evolves, because they don't know how to answer the question usually from the beginning. But as in terms of where do I start when I look under the hood, when I'm doing my due diligence, is I always start with the P&L and the balance sheet and the statement of cash flows. I look at the financials.
Right.
90% of the story is there. I can look at the financials and I can say, okay, I understand how your sales teams work because I can see how your discounts are using to buy revenue. I can see how your operations teams work because I see how your sub-rentals fluctuate in what way, what percent of outside labor is to inside labor. And I can look at all these metrics and have a real good idea of which flavor of company you are. The only thing I can't learn from the P&L is which style of project management process flow you follow.
Okay.
And once I have that, then I know how you're wired.
You know, that's actually an interesting thing because it gives you a totally different perspective than management that's inside the company. Because we tend to look at operations first and then consult the P&L to decide if retroactively it was okay or not. But we tend to watch the actual operation of events. Mm-hmm. You look at it from the other end.
Yes.
And that, I have to think, would be really valuable. Let me ask you this, too. We're talking about value. I have a lot of friends in the live events industry who say they don't do they do NAMM or they do, you know, other shows, but they don't do Infocom because it's not focused on the live events industry. First of all, that is changing somewhat, but there are other reasons that a live events company should come to Infocom. Well, what are they?
Well, first of all, I mean, I want to challenge their premise, because if somebody says that to me, I can say, well, what is the live event show you're going to?
Right.
Because I'm sorry, it's not NAMM.
Right.
You know, it's not NAB. This is the only place where, certainly in the corporate world, that live events exist. LDI is a nice show. I go to LDI every year. It's actually more of an academic show now. It's a rental show.
Sure.
So it's this is the only place. The fact that we're a small piece of a really big floor and a small piece of a really large education system doesn't mean that our small piece is actually small.
Sure.
It's only small in scale of everything else that's going around. This is a huge show.
Right. I heard rumor that we're expecting about 37,000 this year.
Yes. Yeah, that sounds about right to me.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of exhibit floor. There's a lot of stuff going on. And the complaint I hear is, well, I only want to see about 20 exhibitors. And there's 900. Oh, darn.
Right, right. Would you, if those 20 exhibitors were in a small hall by themselves, would you go?
Yeah.
You know, that's, I think that's,
you know, would you be happy going to a regional trade show with just the 20 exhibitors and miss the color of the rest of this and find out what's really going on?
Right.
And only be around the regional guys that came to that regional show?
Right.
You know, you can't talk in the aisle. Your competitor's standing next to you.
I've always felt the other reason to come wasn't the exhibitors or the exhibits themselves. It was to rub shoulders with my peers.
Exactly.
You know, and this year we have a live events lounge. What booth number was it again?
6551.
Okay, and if they're looking for you, where will they find you?
I will be there on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 10 a.m. to noon.
Okay.
So I've got some good hangout time there. That's the best place to find me.
Okay. And other than that, your phone number is published, and so is your website, and I'll make sure that's on our page.
If they can't find me, they should hire a consultant.
Tom, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Joel.